I want to welcome you to Stephensville Bible Chapel, and I want to welcome some very special, dear people that are here today. And if you haven't got a chance, get to know these fine three wonderful people up front, because they are just dear, dear, dear brothers and sisters. Please allow me to make this disclaimer before we start. I'm in an uncomfortable fashion right here. Normally when I preach and teach, I teach in an expositional manner, which means I go verse by verse. I am not going verse by verse today. Psalms 107 has 42 verses, and if I was to go verse by verse, well, we'd probably be here for 5 hours, so I am not going to do that. And I know I ran out of I ran out of some sermon notes. If you don't have an outline, please feel free. Chris has got some, so if you don't have one of these, Chris will be more than happy to pass it out. And with that being said, today I'm going to do something a little different. Today is a multimedia presentation. So basically, I am going to preach and teach today, but I am going to do it with video and stories, okay? And we are going to be in Psalm 107, so if you want to open up your Bible, that's where I'm going to be camped at today. And to get started, just so you can understand the backdrop of Psalms 107, and then I'm going to ask my dear brother Ed, if you'll pray before we get started, Ed. If I can give you the backdrop, the author of 107 is unknown, but one of the things that we do know about Psalm 107, it's a Thanksgiving psalm. It's a psalm thanking God for what he's done. And actually, when you break down this psalm and you study this psalm, it's a breakdown thanking Yahweh. And that one can be in and finding how to give thanks. So basically, the theme of this message is blessed are those who give thanks, which is in Hebrew, and I am not a Hebrew scholar, is yada, or you got to kind of make it sound like you're spitting, which I can't do, but to praise or thanks, and that's where we're going to be. But before I get started, Ed, would you be so kind to open us up in prayer?
Given Mark and the Word of God to present to us. Help us to be good listeners today, Lord, and I just pray a special blessing on everyone that's here. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Now my hope is that my Wi-Fi signal stays strong, and my hope is that my Bluetooth won't lose things. But we're going to be looking at giving thanks, and one of the things in the opening lines of 107, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Chapter 105 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, and make his deeds known to all of his people." From chapters 105 to chapters 107 is a trilogy of songs of thanksgiving, but all of those songs open up with a verb action, okay? And that verb action is what? Give thanks to God. All right? So that's what we're going to do today. Now, I'm going to break down Psalms 107 in four stories, okay? But what is the author giving thanks about? If you go and you look at this, you're going to see God is giving goodness and mercy to Israel. There's two main themes in this psalm, okay? Two main themes. First of all, praising God for his continual deliverance, and remembering how God responds to mankind's obedience and disobedience. And can I say anything? One of the things that I learned in the Hebrew, starting off in 107, it says, God saw everything he made and it was good. Do you know where else that's found in Scripture? Genesis. And everything that God created. So whether God is in the mode of creating the world and breathing the world to existence, or whether God's in the business of working in our lives, in wherever area or whatever issue, whatever chapter we are in our lives, it is good to God, okay? So these are the two main themes we're going to look. And as we look at these two main themes, they're going to be coming in with four stories. And as I hopefully do this well today, we will see four stories in this. But first of all, let's look at the chapter outline, because I want you to understand the outline of this chapter. First of all, it's verses 1 to 3, and this is what your pass out is on here. So I'm going off of this. So if you do want to follow along, it's there. First three verses, it's a call to praise. Verses 4 through 32 is a cause of rejoicing. That theme in those verses is the theme of deliverance. And I don't want us to miss that, okay? That is a very important theme in this song, and we can't miss that. And then all of a sudden, I want us to look at verses 33 to 43, which is the consequences of what? Those who are obedient and those who are disobedient. And we can't miss that in this psalm. Okay, later on, God is calling Israel a praise to remember. And actually, I think it's verse 4. He says, remembering that the hand of God was with them, speaking of Israel, okay? Remembering that the hand of God was with him when he delivered them from what? And this is all four directions, all right? Israel, there was a call to remember when God delivered them from the Philistines, when God delivered them from Egypt, when God delivered them from Babylon, when God delivered them from the Syrians and the Syrians. So the text says, from every direction, north, south, east, west, God has been Israel's deliverer throughout the centuries, and God has proved faithfulness when Israel remained faithless. Right now, what is Israel going through? Israel's going through a war. What directions is the war coming from in Israel? From the north and from the south. Can I tell you that Israel is the apple of God's eye? And not only is Israel the apple of God's eyes, Israel will come on top of this. Okay? Just so you know. But let's get into this. Verses, starting off in verse 4, these verses contain a picture. And these are the four picture groups that we want to learn today. We're going to look at wandering in the wilderness. We're going to talk about that real quick. We're going to be talking about suffering in prison. We're going to be talking about enduring sickness. And we're going to be tossing on a stormy sea. Folks, welcome to Life 101. Because there isn't any one of us in this room that has not undergone one of these chapters or their faces in their lives, okay? But we're going to break it down a little bit. But these are the four categories that we're going to be in today, okay? So first of all, you ask what this distress that God delivered them from. First of all, we're going to see that God guides those wandering in wilderness to a city. Okay? So our first illustration, our first people group is going to be wanderers. Okay? And what are wanderers? Wanderers in the text are a picture of people that are helpless, hopeless, and homeless. That's what a wanderer is. They are looking for something, but they don't know where it is. The wanderer has a desire for something more. The wanderer is looking for a place where God dwells. Woe to the wanderer who is satisfied in his sin. Woe to the wanderer who stays in the desert and does not get out, because their advancement is to go to the city. What a picture of hopelessness. And unfortunately, that's where many people are right now. You will meet wanderers every day in your life. Sometimes life is like being in a desert where there's no water and parched and thirsty. But let's shed the light on those who wander. They are homeless. They have no city to dwell in. They are hungry people. They are thirsty people. They need to be healed physically and spiritually. Their hearts wander off to other interests. Can I give an example biblically? Let's remember the 40 years that Israel lived in the desert rather than the cities. What did they do? They grumbled to Moses about their hunger in Exodus chapter 16. They grumbled to Moses because they had no water, or they grumbled to Moses because their water was bitter. But if you remember, they cried out to Yahweh. And when they cried out to Yahweh, when there was no food or no water or their water was bitter, what did Yahweh do? Yahweh provided them with manna. Yahweh allowed Moses to make the water sweet. We lose our way when we get in a dry wilderness and we get caught up in the affluence, which turns out to be a land that is drier and thirstier than we've ever expected. The wanderer trudges through the sand without hope and without help. They seek the true spiritual meaning that always seems to elude them. The wanderer is always helpless and hopeless. And can I just say something? Working in homeless ministry for as many years as I have, I've spent much time with wanderers. Many people that will end up coming to the homeless shelter because they have no place to go, because they have no food to eat. They have nothing to drink, unless it's alcohol. But they have no place to reside. It's about wanderers in every one of these people group. They have a horizontal view of life. They wander to and fro in the desert because their sights are set horizontally. Their sight is not affixed vertically. And that's what happened to Robert Robertson. He was going to go in. He was going to cause a ruckus with his friends. He was going to disrupt Whitfield's services. Instead, the wanderer came home. Next people group we're going to look at, illustration two, is it says, some sat in the darknesses of the shadow of a death as a prisoner, verse 10. In this picture, we have prisoners are a picture of people that are bound up and have no freedom due to them rebelling against Yahweh. These are people that sit in darkness and have death's hand reaching for them. These people cannot move as they wanderer can move. A wanderer has the freedom to move, not this people group. This people group's chained. This people group is bounded. And it says that they are chained and they are shackled and all freedom is gone. These people believe God's law will keep them from being free. Thus, they are chained by their own ignorance. Folks, I have spent many, many years in prison. I mean, not that I was incarcerated. I worked in prison, okay? And I will say that there's two people group. There are those who are bound and chained, and they rebel, and they become incarcerated, and they still bind and chain. They still rebel because they feel that if they surrender, then they're going to be giving up their freedoms and their rights on what they want to do. Their affluence is horizontally as well. But can I say this on top of this? And let me read to you what Mr. Griffith said about this. Dr. Leonard Griffith has written that people are like prisoners, trapped in the dungeon of their own folly, the victim of evil rather than the doers of it. They started out with the freedom of choice, but they continue to choose the wrong thing. But that freedom will be fleeing, where we choose evil, wrong choices, and we become a pattern of behavior that finally the masters who made all the choices. Dr. Griffith continues, he says that the drug addict would give anything to be set free from the chains of this habit, but it has him hooked. And he knows at the end will be the death in his sober moments. The alcoholic hates himself for the hell he creates in his own home, but his bottle is like a chain, and he knows he cannot break loose from it. Not all prisons or prisoners are of their own making. However, some of us are trapped by difficult circumstances which there seems little hope or escape. Not all prisons or prisoners are of their own making. However, some of us are trapped by difficult circumstances from which seems little hope or escape. These prisons may not be our own doing, and these people may be constructed through persecution or situation beyond our control. We don't have to be at fault to become hopeless or captives. We don't have to become at fault to be hopeless captives. Sometimes it's like being in prison when you're caught up in the chains of your own making. Verses 10 and 16, they speak of Yahweh delivering the repentant rebels. One of the things I want to show you is this here in just a second. In verses 13 to 15, they cried out, and freedom can be found in prison. Can I share with you folks, in all honesty to you, some of the sweetest times of worship and some of the sweetest times that I myself have been ministered to has been in prison. Because when those men and women gasp and they see the chains and the bonds that have afflicted them through their life, and they experience Yahweh and they taste and see that He is good, some of the greatest freedom And some of the greatest prisoners are some of the most freest people you will ever meet in your life. This inmate right here, 35 years. Listen to what he has to say. Or listen to what he has to sing.
I was sure by now would have been down. Wiped our tears away. Step in and save the day. Once again, I say amen. And it's still raining.
Why he does that. But I wouldn't say he's bound by his chain or his affliction. I would say that man found freedom. And if you haven't noticed anything about this picture, where is he at? He's in a shower. Okay? I mean, I think they're using it for storage. But he's by himself. He's by alone. He's got a guitar. And he's crying out to God in prison. Get that. Our next people group. Verse 3, some were fools through their sinful ways because of their iniquities, and they had suffered affliction and drew near to the gates of death. Verse 17, in this verse, it's talking about people that are under the affliction or the distress of being sick, okay? These are people that are sick or injured, and they need healing. But even though that they need healing, it says in this verse 17, it says the gates of death draw near. And then one of the things that you read and you study in this text, it says that they lost their appetite. Like where the wanderer hungers and thirsts. This people group have lost their appetite. They cannot feel. These people are foolish because they bring self-harm to themselves. Can I tell you, folks? Do you want to know what the greatest addiction is to people? They're the greatest consequence of people that suffer addiction. You know how they self-harm themselves the most? Cut. They cut. And for those that don't know what cutting is a form to release endorphins, and they cut themselves continually, and they don't stop. And they continue to cut, and they continue to cut, and they continue to count. And it becomes an addiction. And they continue to do self-harm to themselves in their own foolish and their folly. Because as they're cutting, it's releasing an endorphin, it's dopamine. It's releasing dopamine in the brain, and it's giving them a high. So these are people that go ahead and they bring harm to themselves. Where do we have an example of this biblically? Let's go back to the garden, okay? Let's go back to the garden. And Adam, go ahead, eat that fruit and forget about walking with God. Remember that saying? You remember? God, Adam himself was walking with God. He was in communion with God. He was in right fellowship with God. And then all of a sudden, Adam gets tempted and they say, eat this fruit. Forget about walking with God. Foolishness. Calamity, death, destruction. Oh, wait, I want to go back one. Well, I'll leave it right here. I want to talk a little bit about a situation many years ago. It was a couple days before Thanksgiving. I was probably about 20 years old, right? I was a young chaplain, and I worked the graveyard shift just outside of Chicago. And this just dates my age. We had to carry pagers because we didn't have cell phones back then. And the hospital would give you a room, and then when your pager would go off, you had to go down to the emergency room, okay, because they're asking or requesting a chaplain. So it was about 1 a.m. My pager went off. I got called down to the emergency room, and a doctor briefed me really quickly. ER doctor said, we have a life flight coming in, and it looks like it's a pretty bad one. And it was a motorcycle accident, not wearing a helmet. Two people were on the motorcycle, and one ended up going in the ditch. The other one ended up going down the pavement. I remember watching Life Flight coming down, and I remember them bringing this person in. And I remember for the next 5 hours sitting with his wife, who was on the back of the motorcycle, intoxicated. He was under the influence. She was under the influence. And I will remember this picture to my day. They amputated both arms, amputated both legs, and he had about a 1% chance of survival. If any of you have been with somebody under the influence, sometimes you understand that their rationale is not the greatest, and even though you can speak, it's not comprehending, right? So I sat with this wife. Kids were with grandma. And it wasn't no matter what I said, because she wasn't hearing, because the alcohol was still in play in her body, in her stream. And about 5 hours later, the doctors come out. They said we had to amputate the legs and we had to amputate the arms, and he's bleeding internally very bad. But if you want to go see him, you can. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not a good idea. They opened up the door. She went running. She threw herself on top of him as he was on life support, as he was on oxygen. And all of a sudden, flatlined. I walked with this woman for the next month and a half. And I shared who Christ was. She ended up getting saved. She ended up going in rehab. And I will never forget this. She came to me and she said, Chaplain Matthews, please understand, I wish I never lost my husband, but I'm glad you did. I'm glad I did. And that left me scratching my head and saying, what do you mean? What do you mean? And she says, if it wasn't for his accident, I wouldn't have became sober. And if it wasn't for his accident, I wouldn't have known the saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and finding freedom in Christ. I was chained by my alcohol. Now I have an opportunity to be the mother that I never was for my kids. So did God have to take the life of her husband? Yeah, God did. But you got to understand, that was because of the chains. She brought that on herself. And the alcoholism brought on himself, but God, what man turned out for evil, God brought out of good. The next picture that we have is seafarers. Seafarers are a picture of a people that were lost in the waters. Man's sinful life is like doing business in the storm. This is the man who finds himself in troubled waters. And we've all been on that storm of life. We've all been on that sea where at times we're like this. God throws a trial or a temptation at us, or God puts us in a place where we don't even know if we're going to meet our financial obligations, or we're living off a paycheck from paycheck, or we see a loved one who is dying of cancer, or we see a loved one who has walked away from the faith, and we're on that storm. You know, one of the things about seafarers, long as they are in control of the boat, they're okay. Do you understand that? As long as they can navigate the boat on rocky waters, they are okay with that. But as soon as the storms of life come upon them and they can't navigate that boat anymore and the waves are too high, what do you think they do? They cry out to the one. And I think there's a beautiful illustration in Scripture that speaks of something like this. Our Messiah, our Yahshua, was at sleep at the bow of the boat as the storm came up. And do you remember what the disciples said to him? Master, Master, do you not care that we may die? How can you be asleep in this storm? We are fishermen and we are out of control. And then what does Christ do? Peace, be still. And the storms, the life waters, be still. We can always find God in the storm of life. No matter what the circumstances is, no matter what the situation is, God is that still small voice that will calm the storm. He will bring peace to the sailor. We have a beautiful picture of that. And another study of hymnology is tossing on the stormy sea of life. I alone survived, Horatio Spafford's wife cried out. She texted that back. She cried out to God because she had just lost her four daughters. And look what happens.
1873, Spafford, accompanied by his wife and four daughters, made preparations to embark on an ocean liner bound for Europe. However, due to pressing business matters, Spafford decided to change his plans at the last minute and did not board the ship. Tragically, during the voyage, the vessel collided with another, sinking beneath the waves. While Spafford's wife miraculously survived, all four of their beloved daughters perished at sea. Days later, Horatio received a telegram from his wife with a simple yet haunting message, "Survived alone." Overwhelmed by sorrow, Horatio embarked on a journey to join his wife in England. It was during this voyage...
He was in Chicago with Moody.
...out the approximate location where the shipwreck had occurred, the place where his precious daughters had been lost forever. In the depths of his pain, Spafford found solace in his unwavering faith in Jesus, and from the depths of his soul, he penned a hymn that echoed his resolute.
I did that almost too, I don't know. If there's anything in this chapter, I want you to underline verses 6, 13, 19, and 28. I want you to underline every one of those verses. And every one of those verses say the same thing. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered their stress. So it didn't matter if you were the wanderer. It didn't matter if you were in prison. It didn't matter if you were sick. It didn't matter if you were tossed by the seas of life. That what happens to each and every one of these people group? They cried out to the Lord. He delivered them from the stress. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, he who is in trouble, Yahshua will deliver. Do you get that? If there's anything to pick up on Psalms 107, there is always a way to find and give thanks.
I went to my room, unlocked the door, and I bow down. I cry and shout. I said, if there is any God, you show yourself to me. I can't continue anymore. When I said that, That moment he revealed himself. That moment he came. That moment he healed me completely from drugs. That moment I gave my heart to him. He touched my heart and he gave me strength and power. That was a power just walking inside my heart. Because I tried several times before to give up the drugs, but I couldn't. But that time, I asked Yeshua to start a new life, and he did. And he said to me, Dariush, I love you.
He took verses 6, 13, verse 19, verse 28, and look what it did for his life. So what is the application of Psalm 107? The application is this. Remember the countless times he delivered you from your trouble, or he gave you wisdom to get out of trouble or your crisis, or the countless times he set you free from Satan's trap or snare, or the countless times he healed your disease or your sickness, the countless times that God himself stilled the storm in your life. That is who our Yahshua is. That is why we give thanks. That is why when we sit around the table in thanksgiving, we can cry out to God and we can give thanks from a grateful heart for what he has done in our lives. Please listen to this song. Psalm 107. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to close in prayer. But let me share something with you as I close in prayer. There isn't one of us this week that isn't going to be around a wanderer. There isn't one of us this week that isn't going to be around somebody that's sick. There isn't one of us this week that probably doesn't know somebody that's in prison or somebody that's going to be in prison. Probably going to be around somebody this week that is facing life storms. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Because we are that light in that darkened world. We are the ones that can assist and help and aid those people. Let's close in prayer. Father God, you are good, and your steadfast love endures forever. Oh, Father, your mercy is great, and your mercy is abundant, Father. And we are a blessed people, Father. That seems so trivial and so trifle, Father, that when we say we are a blessed people, and Father, maybe we can't even wrap our minds around how blessed we are, because you've called us out of that darkness. You called us out of that pit of despair. And Father, you restored us. You gave us a life. You made us new. We are a new creation under you, Father. And Lord, for that, we give thanks. And Lord, may we have a thankful heart today. May we have a thankful heart tomorrow. And may we have a thankful heart throughout all of eternity, Father. Lord, thank you for each and every person that is here. And Lord, I pray that you spoke to them, that still small voice of yours. Lord, I pray they cry out to you, Lord. We give thanks. We ask this in your holy and your very sovereign name, Lord. Amen.